Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth Time. Once again, I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And listen, friend, remember, if he isn't yours, he can be. He wants to be. He came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And let me tell you something this morning, friend. Let me tell you something today. If you aren't saved, I'm telling you, friend, you ought to get saved. You ought to be working toward it. You ought to be longing for it. You ought to be trying to find out how to do it. And I've got a simple message for you today. It'll do that very thing. You say, why, preacher? Well, if you stick around to where I announce the text out of the book of Amos, chapter 4, and some of you that are Bible readers probably already know what that will be, but just mentioning that chapter, I'll tell you in just a short while. But listen, listen, friend, you need to be saved. You need to be saved more than anything, more than your next breath of air. You need salvation. More than your next meal, more than your next trip, more than your next payday, you need salvation. You need to know the Lord. Well, I trust that our time together will be a blessing. That's what Todd tells you. My son introduces this program week after week after week, time after time after time. And friend, we want to be a blessing. Look, Debbie and I, we have a lot of things we could be doing. We don't have to be doing this except to fulfill a call God's put on our life, except, friend, to feel the call of the ministry God has put on my life. Look, I love you, don't know you, couldn't tell you your name if you didn't know it. But I'll tell you this, I want you to be saved. I want to meet you in heaven. I want you to rejoice in the fact that your sins are under the blood. I've opened my Bible to the book of Amos, chapter 4, like I told you. Deb's got a song queued up, ready to go. I tell you, it's a beautiful song. The title of it is, it's real pretty, If It Were Not For His Grace. And then she says, there go I. You listen to the song, enjoy it if you will. And when Debbie is done, I'll be back for the message. I believe with all of my heart. God's laid on my heart out of the book of Amos, chapter 4. Enjoy.
If it were not for His grace, oh, there go I. Take a look around at this old sinful world. We are quickly to condemn those who cannot afford. But if you take a look at just what we see, if it were not for His grace, that could have been you and me.
I say thank God for Calvary. How wonderful it was. Friend, listen, Calvary is a famous place, a great place. It'll go down through the histories of eternity when we realize what happened there in the Son of Almighty God who came to be my Savior, your Savior, and the Savior of all the world. In the book of Amos chapter 4, I'm going to read the last two verses of that passage of Scripture. Again, they're very familiar to Bible readers, no doubt, but Amos was summing up what he had been saying in his message from the beginning of this chapter. He says, therefore. Look, when you get to a therefore or a wherefore in the Word of God, you need to stop and see what it's there for. It's just that simple. He said, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And he's talking about the 10 northern tribes of the nation of Israel that split off in the days of Solomon under Jeroboam as a judgment from God Almighty. And they went into gross idolatry, into deep sin. They forsook the one true God. And friend, listen, God was calling them back. God was calling them to judgment. I don't know where you're at, but if you're not right in relationship with Jesus Christ, if your sins aren't under the blood, if your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, listen, I beg of you to heed the Spirit of God, heed the message of God that God has laid on my heart. He said, hear, O Israel. He said, this will I do unto Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Listen now, he said, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel, for lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. I'm going to talk to you about that phrase out of the 12th verse of this passage that's been preached on innumerable times, I imagine. I'm going to preach on prepare to meet thy God. Now, God spoke this specifically and directly to Israel. Look, sir, ma'am, if I knew your name, I'd call it. I'd say prepare to meet thy God, old Tom. Or I'd say prepare to meet thy God, old Debbie. Whatever your name is, friends, sir, ma'am, woman, boy or girl, I'd call it if I knew it, friend. But you know it. You know God's speaking to you. You know what's going on in your heart and in your life. You know the eternity that looms, the judgment that you face, the realities of a Christless eternity before you. And if you don't know those things, it's high time that you do. Let me explain this chapter very quickly, if I may. This nation of Israel, friend, had gone far, as I said just a few minutes ago, away from the one true God. I mean, they knew where Bethel was. They knew what had happened to Bethel under Jeroboam as he set up false idolatry there, false worship, worship of false gods, if you will. At one time when Jacob left home, he found out that the God of Bethel was more important than Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. But all when Jacob came back, after spending at least 14 years in a foreign land with his uncle Laban, which was a bigger conniver than he was, when he returned to go back home, friend, to the land of promise, the land that God had promised to him and his father and his son. Hey, can I tell you, friend, he found out it was the El Bethel that really mattered. But at this time when Amos, this southern farmer, had been called by the Spirit of God to go north to the palace up in Bethel, up in the northern part of the nation of Israel as a whole, when this country farmer friend went to the city, if you will, he came with a message of warning, a message of judgment, and he was saying, hey, look, I want you to know something. God's been doing his best to get your attention. God wants to turn your... Can I tell you something, friend? Can I tell you something about what God does? This chapter is moving in many, many ways. I'm telling you, it shows us how God deals with people before he judges. God always, always warns before he judges. Isn't that amazing? He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of long suffering. He's a God of graciousness and kindness, but I want you to know He's a God of justice. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of righteousness, and He will judge all those who reject Him, sin against Him, sin against the light that He gives Him, sins against the opportunities that come their way. But all look, friend, He warns in this passage. He does it through many different ways and means. You say, how did He warn, preacher? He sent famines in their land. Even famines, friend, that were specific to an area. It just wasn't a blanket famine, but it was a famine to different towns and different cities, so that one would go to the next and see how the hand of God was working. He sent His judgment or warnings before judgment in the plagues that they were suffering, in the wars that they were fighting, in the catastrophes that had fallen in their life. But you know what, friend? Nothing was changing for them. They kept going headlong in their way of rebellion away from God, against God. Hey, stop just a minute, sir, ma'am. Look at your life. See what's been going on recently in your life. Look at the challenges, the problems, the demands, the unexpected phone calls, the unexpected bills, the unexpected sicknesses, the unexpected problems that have risen in your life recently. Hey, do you know what that may be? Do you know what that very well may be and probably is? God Almighty trying to get your attention. God Almighty trying to interrupt your backslidings if you've been close to the Lord. Your impotence if you've never known the Lord. It could be that God is trying to call you, friend, listen, away from a final judgment that is before you. Oh, listen, friend, if He couldn't get their attention in the ways that He tried, in those ways that I mentioned to you, and you can read the chapter, you can read those first few verses of it that come before verse 12, you can see what God did. I want you to know something, friend. If His initial efforts fail, listen, He's got one that won't fail. You say, what is it, preacher? It's that old enemy of every man called death. It is that thing which is facing all of us if we live long enough. Hey, listen, friend. Prepare to meet thy God is what this message is about. You say, why, preacher? Because we're going to die. Hear, O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. We're going to die one of these days. Do you hear me, friend? It's a certainty. I'm telling you, you can put it in the bank. You can rest on it. You can stand assured of it. If you live long enough, you're going to die. I'm telling you, that's my philosophy. I don't know how you'll die. I don't know when you'll die. But I'm telling you this, if you're not saved and you don't go in the rapture, you're going to die someday. God has made it such. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, in the beginning, God pronounced judgment upon them. He told them prior to their disobedience, He said, now listen, that fruit that's on the tree that's in the midst of the garden, don't you eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Well, look, friend, they must have not believed God. They rebelled, transgressed. And you know what happened? The day they ate thereof, they died spiritually. But the day, prophetically, how blessed God, didn't close before they died as well. Although they were 900 and some years of age, at least Adam was. Hey, and you know what happens after death? There's something called judgment. You'll stand before this God who is omniscient, who is omnipotent, and who is omnipresent, according to verse 13 of this passage that I read from you. The Almighty God, the one true God. I'm the one who is and was and always shall be. Do you know what? You'll stand before Him in judgment, friend, and give an account of your deeds in this body. Prepare to meet thy God. You say, preacher, what got you on this? Well, as I was sitting at my desk this morning, praying and reading and trying to get my heart right, my head right, trying to seek God to see what I'd preach on this little radio program today. I about got settled in a message, and it was on resurrection. I'll preach it someday, the good Lord willing. But I got a phone call. Got a phone call from our church. One of our members called and said, "Listen, I want you to pray for such and such family. I'll not tell you who it is. I'll not tell you who it is because they found so and so dead this morning. Look, I did the funeral of this man's mother. Didn't know his father, but I did know his sweet mother who was saved on an Easter Sunday morning, if I remember the story correctly. But I want you to know this, friend. I don't know where this man was saved or not, that we were asked to pray for his family who died suddenly. Isn't that amazing? Found him dead in the floor, if I understood the message correctly. And boy, God began to deal with my heart. God began to say, "Listen, that's what you'll preach on. That's what you'll preach on today. You'll preach on prepare to meet thy God." And you say, "Why, preacher? You need to prepare to meet God. You need to prepare for eternity. You need to prepare for the judgment that you're going to face." And you say, "Why?" You say, "Why should I do that, preacher?" Well, look, friend, I'm telling you once again, I know I'm repeating, but I'm repeating by choice. I'm repeating for emphasis because death is inevitable. The Word of God, listen, says things for truth. Do you know that? I've heard people talk about their, quote, near-death experience. Well, if it was near death, it wasn't death. How about that? Friend, we're either dead or alive. Do you know the Bible says there is no discharge in this war? When God put a judgment upon Adam and Eve in the garden, it was a blanket judgment. It was a condemnation for every man, woman, boy, or girl that would be born by natural progeneration after that. And that includes me and you. Can I tell you, friend, listen, there's not a question about if you'll die. The question is about your death is when you will die, how you will die, and whether you'll be ready to die. Listen, there was a prophet, a false prophet, a prophet of hire by the name of Balaam. When he got down to the end of his way and saw what it meant to be righteous, he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my latter end be like his." Hey, friend, in order to be righteous in your death, you've got to have the righteousness of Christ applied to your life, I can't think of the term, and I know what it is too. He'll put it to your account. Do you hear me? If you'll repent of your sins and receive Christ by Savior, as your Savior. Why do you need to prepare? Because you're going to die. And death is inevitable and judgment is certain. Do you know what you'll get in judgment? Do you know what I'll get in judgment? Just exactly what we've got coming to us. We'll get no more. We'll get no less. You see, the judgment of God are true and righteous altogether. Hey, friend, listen. That's why we're going to judgment. To make sure that we get no more than we deserve, no less than we deserve. But listen, that's not the bad things. Death is inevitable. Judgment is certain. But eternity, friend, is ahead. And you in this life will determine where in the next life you'll spend your eternity. Either you'll live in a place of bliss that Jesus has gone to prepare, or else you'll die for eternity, paying for your sins, separated from God, in a place of darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where you'll pay continually, dying for your sins, and yet never dying enough to pay for your sins. Oh, sinner friend, prepare to meet thy God. Well, you say, "How do I do that, preacher?" Well, I'll tell you what, I've done giving you the bad part of the message. Here's the good part. Realize that you're lost. Realize still lies your lost condition. Let me ask you something. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? If you cannot answer that in the affirmative, if you cannot say, yes, sir, preacher, I know that without a shadow of a doubt. I remember a day, I remember a night, I remember a time that I received Christ as my Savior when I repented of my sin, when I went to God and said, I'm sorry. I believe that Jesus, when He died, died for me. And since He died for me, I want to live for Him. Hey, if you can't remember a time similar to that, you need to make that time today. You say, how do I get saved? How do I prepare to meet God? Realize you're lost. Friend, you'll never get saved until you say, wait just a minute, preacher, I'm not a bad sinner. Listen, bless God, it's sin that separates. I mean to tell you, friend, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, not the good little boys and girls of this world. We've all sinned. There's none righteous. We've all come short of the glory of God. If you'll realize that you're a sinner and then recognize that God sent His Son into this world to be a Savior. Look, I quote often, almost every week, in the book of Luke chapter 19 and 10 to this little radio ministry. It is the ministry's verse, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know what? That's why Jesus came. Oh, He revealed God the Father. He manifested His power. Hey, He spoke great truths. He did mighty miracles. He did many wondrous things as He manifested God in the flesh. But you know why He came? He came, friend, to redeem. He came to rescue. He came, friend, listen, to provide for mankind that for which man could not provide for himself. He came, friend, to deliver you from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and by the grace of God, one day the presence of sin. So if you'll realize that you're lost and you'll recognize Christ as your Savior and repent of your sin. Aren't you tired of sin? Listen, it's not gotten you anywhere but in trouble. It's not done anything but cost you. It's not anything but left you empty. It's dissatisfied. I mean, it's discouraged. It's depressed. It's made you shameful. It's made you regretful. I mean to tell you, friend, it's robbed you of your youth. Robbed you of your joy, robbed many of you of your beauty. It's taken your money, your good sense, your time. I mean to tell you, it's a thief. The Bible says the devil cometh not but to for kill, steal, and destroy. And all, sinner friend, if you'll repent of your sin, by faith receive Christ as your Savior, Jesus, friend, will give you eternal life. He'll give you abundant life. He'll give you a life that's full, a life that's fresh, a life that's clean, a life that's pure, a life that's wonderful, a life worth living. Oh, I just began to live. I just began to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. And you say, when do I need to do that, preacher? Now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Hey, listen, friend. Look, you say, what I'll do, preacher? Well, I've done told you, realize you're a sinner. Hey, listen, recognize that Christ came to save. Repent of your sins and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Why don't you go to Him now? Why don't you bow your head, humble your heart? Why don't you just slip away from your desk? Go somewhere if you need to. Pull off of the side of the road, but bow your head, humble your heart, and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me from this life. God, You've been warning me. I see Your hand. I hear Your voice. I didn't know what You were doing, but I do now. By the help of the Word of God, You've been trying to deliver me. You've been warning me of my judgment that's to come. Right now, God, the best I know how, I repent of my sin. By faith, I receive Christ as my Savior. And look, If you'll do that, God will save you. The Bible said, whosoever's called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Prepare to meet thy God, O sinner friend. Prepare today. Prepare now. Look, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret coming to ask Christ to be your Savior. Oh, Father, save every man, woman, boy, and girl calling on you now. And do it. Do it in light of what your Son Jesus did at Calvary. In his name I pray.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.